This is how we do it. You know I'm here with my Dream Team family, baby.
Hello, and welcome to the Dream Big Network Business Podcast. I'm Rocky Miller, and I am the founder and CEO of DBN. The purpose of the DBN podcast is to bring relevant and insightful business and professional development topics to all of the dreamers out there looking for practical information to help turn dreams into reality.
All right, so we are here with my brother Marcus Shaw.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Happy to be here, man.
Thank you, man. And Marcus, I want to welcome you, man, to the Dream Big Network Business Podcast. I do have a little bit of an agenda here this morning. Also, I've got a few things that I want to talk with you about, and I'll let you introduce yourself officially in just a second here. But before I do, there was something unique that I wanted to kind of shout out here, you know, because you and I have a history, and, you know, I want to give a shout out to our 2014 there Chamber Connect, where ULF alumni. So,
yes, sir.
I just want to tell you, brother, like, honestly, this one is kind of near and dear to me just for the fact that we've got that history. And it's a blessing to be able to be on this side of things with you years down the road. And you saw me at some early stages of my business putting DBN together. And, you know, I've seen you putting your company together. So I definitely want to let you introduce yourself officially in that capacity. Talk about your business as the Crescendo and what you're doing with businesses. But again, going back to it, I just want to thank you, man. And, you know, this one is important to me, you know, knowing that we've got that history and coming from a pretty elite program, man, with ULF.
Seriously, man, it really jumpstarted my entrepreneurship. At the time when I was in it, I was a banker, right? But I saw so many people in that group who were doing such wonderful things kind of on their own. And I was like, maybe this is something that I should do as well, too. So shortly right after that, man, I jumped into entrepreneurship. I left the bank. I started my own trucking company. I did that for 12 years. And to be honest, it was me and my mom, right? We jumped out just on faith. We prayed on it and we just did it. And thankful to the Lord, it survived us and kept us in good standing. And we made a lot of money in that industry, right? But it was a time where I felt like I needed to do more, right? To give back, to serve in a better capacity. So then I switched from that aspect, and then I started doing the life insurance. I was selling life insurance, and then I became a financial advisor. I love both of those industries. It just wasn't a true passion of mine, right? I was able to give back to the community, help people, you know, invest better, make sure they were taking care of their families. So that was all good, but it was still something I was missing in that. And then when I found it, the Crescendo is almost like a box of everything that of what I've kind of been through. Me being an entrepreneur, understanding what businesses are going through, what's happening when they're looking for money, trying to find money, trying to scale and grow. And then also what to do with the money once they have the money, right? So the company that I have now is a company that gives small businesses access to capital, right? Okay. I'm able to show them how to get $25,000, $150,000 for the business to help the business scale and grow in order for them to keep surviving. Because as you know, most small businesses fail not because of lack of skill or knowledge or not having the right people around them. It's just the lack of capital to survive and to keep going, right? So I just want to be that person that helps small businesses to continue to grow and to reach the dreams that they've been dreaming of when they got into the industry.
Absolutely, man. And, you know, I think that's important, brother. And you kind of already touched on this a little bit about just your start and your backgrounds. Go back to what you saw in the banking industry before you moved into it. Like, were there things that stuck out to you that you'd see people coming in and you didn't know certain things, you know, about how they were operating, or what did that look like?
Man, a lot of people, they don't necessarily have a business. They got to hustle, right? The paperwork is not in order. A lot of people go into the bank asking for money, but not understanding what the bank needs from them, right? And then they get frustrated because the bank is asking for all this paperwork, but the paperwork is just to show and prove that you have the money to pay them back, right? So when you go into the bank asking for money and you don't have anything, you don't have a balance sheet, you don't have, you know, tax returns, you don't have any of that at hand to give the bank, it's a slight chance that the bank probably won't give you money. If they do, it'll be a small amount. But absolutely, if you come in prepared, there's a much higher chance that you're going to get some money that you've been looking for if you're able to show them that you can pay them back. That's just the name of the game.
Yeah. Nah, man, this is good. I had a whole agenda for you for some things that I wanted to ask you about.
Yeah.
You took us there already, you know? So
yeah.
I just want to jump in and, you know, one of the things I wanted to ask you about and just getting some insight into the industry, obviously with what you're doing with the Crescendo now, are there any specific keys that you could offer? And because I think there's two sides to this, right? And I see this with DBN, and you know what DBN does, obviously, and the work we're doing with small businesses, the digital subscription. You know, obviously, appreciate, you know, the fact that we're collaborating in that community space as well. But I see it from two dynamics all the time, to your point, which is you have your new businesses, and they're trying to figure out how to get started. But then you also have other established businesses, and they're just missing so many of the on-ramps to continue to scale. So I'm just wondering, could you talk to maybe some keys that you even, you know, give to you know, whether it would be maybe it's a startup business, you know, what they should be looking for to start to develop themselves for that or that runway? And then also on the secondary part of that, what would you give, what advice could you give or would you give, you know, in terms of some keys for these maybe established businesses that have this stigma about finances? Because I do run into a lot of the more established businesses and they're like, oh, well, we tried that, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
And now they kind of feel like they're just kind of stuck in those areas.
The answer for both of the questions is the same. It is going to be your personal credit profile. Okay. A lot of times when we're going into this, we're thinking we need to build out our business credit, right? Because that's all we're hearing on the internet, on social media, got to have your business credit in order. But in reality, no matter what level you're at, the bank is going to look at your personal credit history. Because if you can't handle your personal finances and paying back credit cards and all of that, they're not going to give you much funding on the business side.
Right.
Right. When you're dealing with traditional banks, now there's different avenues as far as alternative lending and stuff like that, but that's expensive money. So it's the same solution, which is going to be your personal credit profile, your credit history, how you handle your finances. That is what the banks are truly looking at, even when you're going to get business funding, because they want to know how you handle your personal finances before they give you anything on the business side. So when I say that, I'm talking about your credit score needs to be 680 and above, right? 720 is really the sweet spot, but you can deal with some stuff in the 680s range. No derogatories in your credit history. I'm talking about late payments. I'm talking about foreclosures, bankruptcies, anything negative on your credit report. You don't want to have that on there. You want to have your utilization of your credit cards low. Anything below 20% is a good mark of what they're looking at. And outside of that, you want to have what we call comparables, right? If you only have a $500 credit card on your personal side, the bank is not going to give you $100,000 on the business side, especially when you're first starting out, because you have nothing, you don't have a track record to prove that, right? So you want to be able to get your credit cards up into the higher limits. And there's tricks and nuances in order to do that, but that's kind of where you want to be. You want to at least have like a $10,000 to $15,000 credit card on your side to have a comparable to get the money that you need on the business side. So the short answer is get your personal credit in order before you go talking to these banks. Because if you're talking to these banks and you have a 550 credit score and you have some collections and charge off, it doesn't really matter how well your business is doing unless you're doing millions of dollars, right? But for most people, we're not doing that when you're starting out. They're going to deny you every time because you have a record of not being able to pay people off. Right. Now, I will say this for the people who are in business, who've been doing it for a long time, over 2 years, and you have a track record of bringing in over, you know, $10,000 to $15,000 a month. There are some alternative lenders that will give you money, but it's going to be expensive money. So now you're paying a higher interest for that money. But I understand sometimes you just got to get in the game, but that should not be your major solution to everything. It's just going with alternative lending and paying for expensive money. Because it's going to eat into your pocket, into your profits. And then at that point, your business is not surviving. You're just kind of, you know, kind of making do and getting by. It's the stress. It's the stress that you're putting on yourself. And you can just get your personal credit profile in order. And I also do credit repair as well, too, to help optimize their profile in order for them to get the money that they truly need.
Absolutely. And that's such a good point, bro. You know, I think that piece that you made about the credit is so important, and it's overlooked as well. I think it's interesting you mentioned that it's actually your personal credit, because to hear you speak that professionally and you hear different answers from different people, some of them may not necessarily be experts, and they're saying, oh, well, you need to start to build up your business credit.
Right.
And even to that point, so you're saying that personal credit is more of a factor than your business credit.
I mean, because when you're starting out, you don't have any business credit. What are they looking at? They have nothing to look at. The only thing they can look at is on your personal profile. Mm-hmm. They want to see how you handle your personal finances first before they give you anything on the business side. But again, if you've been in business for a long time, it's a higher chance that you're going to have some business credit kind of built out. And banks are going to look at that still. But I'm telling you, it's like an 80-20 rule. They're still going to look back at your personal finance because you're going to be the guarantor that's going to back the money.
Sure.
So if you happen to get the business funding and you don't pay them back, they're going to come to you personally. They're not going to necessarily attack the business. They're going to come back to you, which is why they're looking at your personal side.
That makes sense. And you're to your other point too. So for more established businesses that have revenue, you said that plays a factor as well. That if you that could change things. So maybe and correct me if I'm wrong here, because I'd like to for you to give our audience that expertise. But if that business, maybe their personal credit isn't that great, but they're bringing in a decent amount of revenue, are you saying that that could change things for your situation and what the banks may look at?
For sure. Now, a lot of banks still might, when I say banks, I'm talking about your Chase, your Wells Fargo, your top tier banks. They probably won't lend you as much money with a low credit score. But there's some alternative lenders out there, third parties, that will give you funding, but the interest rates are going to be much higher than if you were to be able to get the money from the bank themselves. Right? So instead of you paying 7% on a loan, now you're paying 12 to 15.
Okay, that makes
sense.
Still
able to get the money, but it's expensive money.
Yeah, it comes with a price tag, right?
It comes with a price tag, exactly. So it kind of depends on kind of where you are. Like, if you really, really need the money, cool, take it. I'm not opposed to that. But just on the back end, I need to get my personal stuff in order so then I can get the bank's money that's going to be at a cheaper rate so then I can just pay that off and live more comfortably. Those are like Band-Aid situations. That shouldn't be your all-day, everyday go-to.
Marcus, let's say you have a business coming to you, it's a small business owner, and they have been working, they've got an established company, and this is all new to them. So where is that starting point for you with them? Like, where do you begin the process with them, with your business and helping them? So obviously, when they're meeting you, they're not at that stage where they're going to get capital right away. But what do you do with clients, from the Crescendo standpoint, to start to get them in that pipeline and prepare them for that success?
The first thing we look at is the credit report. I'll pull them in.
It's the credit report.
We'll have a meeting. We'll look over the credit report, seeing what's missing, or if nothing's missing, we'll kind of talk through and say the next steps. But we'll go through their entire credit report, make sure they understand what's on the credit report, because a lot of people don't really understand what's on the credit report and what certain things mean. So I'll go through a whole education phase of the credit report. And then from the credit report, depending on, how much money they need or what direction they want to go, then I create an optimized system that allows them to, for the people who need it to be fixed, I have an optimization platform that will fix the credit profile in a way for them to get the most funding that they need for their business. Right? So for people who have lower limits on their credit cards, I have a process that shows them how to get higher limits on their credit cards. For people who need to get the radical stuff taken off, we'll take all that stuff off and kind of build them from the ground up to get them in the right situation. Whatever the case may be, every business is a little bit different. But again, it all starts with their credit profile. And then from there, I have many, many, many connections with different bankers and financial institutions to where I can go to them and talk to them about their business, right? And be the front man for them and let them understand kind of what the business is needing. And they'll give me an answer. So that way the customer is just not going to different banks you know, messing up their credit profile because they're taking all these applications. But that bank wouldn't have done that regardless, no matter where you were. I'm able to kind of get ahead of that and tell a story about the business to so the bank knows kind of what the business is offering to them as well. Because it's a two-sided thing, right? It has to work for both sides.
It does. Yeah, no, this is great information, brother. I want to be sensitive of your time this morning. I want to make sure that I want to get to some. So we've talked a little bit about just like the financial stuff, and I appreciate you sharing some insight to some of these subscribers, you know, or some of the audience that's listening out there with the podcast. But I want to get to some of the entrepreneurial stuff with you as well, because again, I know that we talked about it earlier. You gave some of the insights about, you know, what you did with your first company and, you know, then moving into the financial services sector and what you're doing with the consulting in that aspect now. I think the part of DBN and our business podcast, there's different types of levels of entrepreneurs that we're bringing in, right? And I want to continue to shed a light on different stages of business owners and really just kind of shed some light on what it is to be a business owner, right? And being an entrepreneur. And so I'd like to get some insight from you, your perspective on a few things here. I want to start with this for you, which is, you know, for you in terms of your journey now, and obviously you've shifted over to the Crescendo and the stuff that you're doing, you know, with small businesses. Do you have a vision for where you see this brand being in the next 3 to 5 years? Is it tied to a certain financial number that you see monetarily or from a business perspective that you want to obtain? Or is it a metrics of, you know, a certain amount of businesses that you'd like to help? Like, what does that vision for you look like with the Crescendo?
For me, I'm truly doing this as a service. So I want to help 1,000 businesses in the next 5 years.
1,000 businesses.
Wow. I want to help 1,000 businesses in the next 5 years. And with that, obviously, everybody's in this to make money, right? But when you're helping others, the money's going to come. I'm not too much worried about that. I just want to be in a situation where I'm helping 1,000 businesses survive and thrive. No matter where they are, if it's new business or someone who's been in business for years to come, I want to be a partner. I don't want to necessarily just be a broker while I'm broken. I want to be a partner of the business in helping them grow.
That's great, man. Well, I appreciate you sharing that vision. Second question I wanted to talk to you on that end about, actually, it's a two-part question. And you can tie this into just your business journey as a whole. It doesn't have to be just with the Crescendo, just what you've experienced since you started your entrepreneurial journey. But what would you say is one of the biggest challenges that you feel like you faced as a business owner, just to shed some light on that, you know, for other business owners? And then also, you know, what do you feel like has been one of your greatest wins being in business? You know, so kind of a two-part thing there. You know, maybe if you can shed light on like one or two of the biggest challenges that you feel like you faced being in business or as an entrepreneur, and a little bit of insight into that. And, you know, again, what is one of like the greatest successes, or, you know, it can be anything.
One of the biggest challenges I would say is time. Understanding the time and how much time you have, and delegating your time too. Because as a business owner, when you first start now, you're everything. I mean, you're the accounts manager, you're the broker, you're the one going out sales, you're doing the marketing, you're doing all of those things. But if you continue to give away your time, you're not going to have enough time to make the money. So it took me a while to understand that and to delegate or even hire someone else to do the service for you, right? Because if you're in the back office doing all the paperwork, when are you out marketing? When are you going out to go get sales?
Never.
When are you creating plans to expand and grow? Like, you're taking away all that time. It's way more important to have somebody else in that position that can do it in a more efficient way, mind you. Right. I mean, you use your time to go do the business. It took me a while to understand that. I feel like I was saving money doing everything on my own when I was actually losing money. Right. So that's one. The second thing I would say outside of time is understanding money. Right. There was times in my business where I was making a lot of money, but I wasn't putting it in the right places. It was just going into the bank account. Well, I'm old school. Sometimes I'm under the bed with it. You know what I'm saying? Shoebox money still, right?
I understand that.
Yeah, but if I was putting it in a position of understanding, like, hey, I need a retirement account, even have a self-employed individual, you still need a retirement account. You still need something to fall back on, right? Or putting your money in a high interest savings account versus just a regular savings account where your money is at least growing inside of that account instead of getting or just not growing at the same rate as what it should be, right? And then the other aspect of that is just being prepared for when times are not sufficient for you, or times are not great for you, when the money's not coming in, right? Having an emergency fund set up, right? Understanding that aspect. And then, of course, I'll circle it all back around to what I'm doing now, understanding how to go get the capital that you need to survive and grow.
Yeah, man, that's a huge one right there. That's great insight. And what would you say, what's like maybe one of the biggest successes that you feel that you've encountered in your journey so far?
Man, you know what? I would say when I had my moving company, it was being able to have employees, right? Because I'm putting food on people's table, allowing them to feed their family, right? That really made me have joy inside, man. Like to be able to provide for some, help someone else provide for their family is unique to me. And that's why I kind of want to get to with the crescendo, right? I want to have people in place to where, of course, my business is doing well, but I'm also able to help people keep their family.
Absolutely. No, that's a great point, brother. And, you know, to that standpoint is, you know, it's one thing when you can make money for yourself, but it's another when you can actually employ other people. And I think that people forget that aspect of the impact, to your point, of small businesses, right, in America, is that, I mean, yes, we do have corporate America and it provides a substantial amount of jobs and things like that. You've got your Googles and, you know, Meta and all these, you know, big companies, but, or light industrial companies, but, you know, the majority of the jobs that you see are with smaller companies that are creating opportunity for everyday people, you know? So that's an amazing win, brother, to highlight. Sir. So thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we are reeling down again. I know you've got things to do today, so I want to get to a couple more things with you. And to go through the outro part, you know, one of the things that I always like to talk with people about with DBN, and obviously, you know, Dream Big Network, the name of my company, I would love to get your perspective on, from your standpoint, what is your idea or belief is, you know, what is dreaming big to you? And what does that look like, you know, just from your standpoint? And then the second part of the question that I'd like to ask you as we kind of wrap up today is, what is one solution that you believe that someone can take to that dream, right? Or dreaming big?
Dreaming big to me is shooting for the stars, man. I mean, if you go big or go home, you know what I'm saying? Like if your dream doesn't scare you, you're not dreaming big enough. That's right. True. We can't go into things small minded when we're trying to attain things in life, because it's very rare. If you think it's small minded, you're going to reach anything big. Only time you reach something big is when you're dreaming big. So to me, like you just shoot for the stars. Shoot for the stars. Because if you don't make it, at least you tried. No regrets on that end. Right. And what was the second? What was the second part of that?
What is one step?
Solution.
Yes.
Salute. Work your butt off. Work your butt off. Nothing about this is easy, right? Nothing about this is. A lot of times in this, you're gonna be sad. You're gonna be frustrated. You're gonna be mad at yourself. You're gonna feel like this is the dumbest decision ever. But do not quit and continue to work hard, because on that other side, once you get past all those barriers, is the green grass that you've been looking for. A lot of people don't make it to the other side because they quit. You have to continuously go. And when you fail, fail forward. Learn from your mistakes. Pick yourself back up and keep moving. Don't stop.
That's a great point, man. Yeah, I couldn't have said it better myself, man. And I always love hearing just the different perspective from different people. We've heard some different answers already on the podcast this year. I think that you just hit another nail on the head, which is, to your point, you got to work hard. You got to put the effort in. And I've seen you do that with your companies too, to your point. Like I've seen you with your moving company. I've seen what you're doing with, you know, the Crescendo brand now and the financial services. And you can always see the ones, to your point, that it's not just about, like, to your point, the dreaming big, right? And going big, and but it's the practicality of it, and knowing that, like, there are going to be days you got to show up every single day, and Monday through Friday. Sometimes right now, like, he's even a Saturday, right? You know, and you got to put the work in.
One of my favorite Bible verses, you know, faith without works is dead. You can have all the faith in the world, but if you ain't moving your feet to what you have faith to, it don't matter.
Doesn't matter. That's the truth.
It doesn't matter. Do you really have faith if you're not moving towards it?
Yes, sir.
Do you really want that goal? You're not moving towards it. Mm-hmm. Why are you quitting right now? Like, how bad do you really want it? Those are the ones who win.
That's the truth, man. So you're preaching, man. You're sharing some nuggets with these subscribers. Yeah. Marcus, before we get ready to jump out of here today, thank you. I appreciate you sharing some of your insights. Can you let the listeners know where can people find you at? You know, give the links to, you know, to your IG, your Facebook, if you've got that website. Where can people connect with you and some of these business owners that need some of your services or your help?
Yeah, for sure. So you can follow me on IG at DeCrescendo. I'm also on Facebook. You can find me on the Marcus Shaw, and then also have the business page at DeCrescendo. YouTube is DeCrescendo as well. And then if you want to reach out to my email, it's marcus@DeCrescendo.com.
Got it. Okay. Well, there you have it, folks. Marcus Shaw, DeCrescendo. Man, it's been a pleasure, brother. We appreciate you, man. And look forward to touching base with you here soon, man.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me, man.
Thank you.
Keep dreaming big.
There you go.
Thank you for tuning into the Dream Big Network Business Podcast. And remember to dream big dreams and resolve to think solutions. Check us out at dreambignet.com, or you can follow us on IG at dream_bignet.